Pat has us do this, you know, way too early Final Four. And so Pat has given me Baylor as a Final Four team this year. And so I just, you know, clicked in, okay, college football and so forth. And I'm looking at this ESPN top 25 that they put out 3 weeks ago, and Baylor's not even in their top 25. And so we got huge difference of opinion, which a lot of times you do have some difference of opinion, but a lot of times a dark horse is like saying, hey, this team, people have them like ranked between 11 and 15. I think they could be a fine. Normally you don't have one that's not even in the top 25, you know, that you have other people that are pushing. Now, it might turn out that way, and we've talked about how, like, OU, what, 2000, were the number 19 preseason or 21 or whatever it was preseason, and, you know, and they win a national title. But I'm just saying you don't often have people pushing for, like, teams not in people's top 25 to be a Final Four team at that time, in the summertime before the season ever starts. So, Marcus, have you done much homework on your college football?
I've done a little bit. Man, that was really shocking in the last hour to hear Pat put Baylor and A&M in the college football playoff. A&M's time is coming, I think. I think that the recruiting classes and all that stuff is it's got a shot to kick in. But it isn't going to be this year, I don't think. They've got a new quarterback, right, to the system. I mean, it's a more of a veteran quarterback than they had a year ago. But they also lost quite a bit of talent. I mean, Aggie Dave was trying to tell me last year that Texas A&M was going to have four first-round picks. They ended up having one, but they did lose some pretty talented guys on the from last year's team. And here's a stat for you. Texas A&M, in the last 26 years, they've lost at least four games in 23 of them. And I think have won conference championship. So
23 out of 26, they've lost at least four?
Yeah. So I mean, you're talking about a pretty big leap from them from last year to this year. I mean, they're losing at home to Mississippi State last year. That's going to be a big stretch. I don't think Baylor's going to have the consistency. I think Pat's respect for them is telling on the defensive side of the ball that they're really that good, and Dave Aranda is a very, very good coach. You know, recruiting wise, I think they've been a little. I think he is going to benefit. I don't see Dave Aranda being a better recruiter than Matt Rhule. I think that Matt Rhule was just able to go out and get a lot of really good guys, and I think it'll be tougher for Baylor to continue to keep that kind of talent coming into campus. But they're going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to be terrible. The Big 12 is very balanced, man. I think if you look at the win-loss totals, I mean, if you're OU, you can sit there and go through the schedule and basically go, yeah, they're going to win them, you know, win most of them or win them all. And I know when Pat went through the schedule, he had OSU losing to Arizona State. I'd be shocked if they lost to Arizona State. But I think the thing to his, you know, I think his thought process to me was when he's going down there, instead of picking them to be 11-1 or something, you got to find somewhere that they're going to lose. But I think that the Big 12, you know, like if you look at that Athlons team, Kansas State does have some really good players coming back on defense. They do have a transfer in at quarterback, and I don't know what Martinez is going to do at K-State. He was really turnover-prone and couldn't win close games at Nebraska, and I don't know that that just automatically changes because he's going to go from red to purple. But there are questions everywhere across the board in the Big 12.
Okay, so let me ask you, Marcus, like you said, I mean, we have – this ESPN thing that I pulled up from 3 weeks ago, this is not like a way too early deal back in January or during spring practice. This is June 8th, all right? They had OU number five. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling me that was it Athlons that didn't even have an OU player on first team All Big 12? Either side of the ball, offense, defense?
Offense or defense. No, I don't know where they – I mean, that – I don't know where they have OU ranked. I mean, I haven't seen that. But, yeah, I look through there, and I don't know. I mean, OU lost a lot of production. And I think everybody's fired up and thinks they're going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be pretty good. But I do think you look at who's not there anymore, and it's quite a few players. So it's you're going to have to bank on that. Listen, the change in the program – was going to help make the defense, you know, quite a bit better, and that could get them over the top. But again, if you look at last year at OU, where they have seven games decided by a touchdown or less, and they won mm-hmm. all They won all of them.
With the exception of Oklahoma State, I think.
With Oklahoma State, yes. Yeah. They won all of those. I mean, that's very lucky. You're not normally going to be that lucky.
Okay, Big 12 teams in Athlon's top 25. They have Baylor at 11. They have Oklahoma at 13. They have Oklahoma State at 17. And did they sneak Texas in? I don't think they did. No. Those three. So 11 for Baylor, 13 for OU, 17 for OSU in Athlon's top 25.
Not a very strong. What do you think about Texas this year, Marcus?
Well, I mean, I think that they have a long way to go on defense. Can they? Second year is usually the year in which the culture changes, and I think if you're really going to turn it around that you start to see a whole lot of improvement there. They had some staggering numbers last year on defense when it came to pressuring the quarterback. Like, they got no pressure on the quarterback, and there's not a lot of huge impact difference makers coming back. And I think offensive line-wise, Texas has got some good recruits and kids that are pretty expected to be good players, but there again kind of seems like a year away to me from being good and having an impact on that side of the ball. Skill wise, they're great. I mean, they got a transfer from Wyoming. It's a really good wide receiver. They got Xavier Worthy. They got Bijan Robinson. They got two tight ends that are really good. And then they should be pretty good at quarterback. I'd be surprised if Quinn Ewers didn't start. If Hudson Card starts at that spot and he's not any better than he was last year, then I don't know.
Appeared to be a draw in the spring between those two, Ewers and Card. Yeah. But I agree. They'll probably go Ewers. Did you see the Bill Connolly did a great thing on the Big 12 preview? They said they previewed the bottom five teams last week or whatever, and the top five this week. And on Texas, he does make a good point that a lot of their best players, I mean, they've had a lot of, you know, high recruits, four or five star recruits, whatever. But like Bijan Robinson was a sophomore last year. You know, Xavier Worthy was a freshman. All right.
Yep.
They said three freshman offensive linemen played at least 100 snaps, and of the 10 defenders with at least 400 snaps, seven of them returned. You know, so they did have a lot of young. They said all three of the defenders with double-digit run stuffs, four out of the five with at least two sacks, seven out of nine, you know, with at least four tackles for loss, and all of that. And he did bring in Gary Patterson, which I know he's not the coordinator. All right, it's still Pete
Kwiatkowski.
Kwiatkowski, whatever his name is. Anyway. But Gary Patterson, you don't think he's going to help their defense? I think he's definitely going to help their defense.
I mean, the problem last year was, I mean, he's not playing. I'm saying the problem was last year their strength and conditioning, and I think that's a big issue at Texas. Is I don't know how tough they are, and look in the last 10 years,
they had a lot of games where they had leads and blew them,
they looked awful. They looked awful in the second half.
Well, I mean, just look at the Oklahoma game, the Oklahoma State game, yeah.
Right. And so I think that's the deal. Is for 10 years they've been a pretty soft program, and it's gone through good coaches. I mean, I think Tom Herman was a good coach. He's been a good coach wherever he's been. But
yeah, no, I know. I mean,
Charlie Strong was a good defensive coach.
Yeah.
So they have got to figure out how are they going to be tough.
One AP top 10 finish in 12 years for Texas.
I mean, so.
AP top 10 in 12 years for Texas? That's just crazy. So, yeah, it's going to, what you're saying, is going to take more than just Arch Manning to turn the program around. Well, all I'm saying, to give them benefit of the doubt, they played a bunch of young guys in the offensive line, and for their defense, they got a lot of those guys back. They were young. Maybe that's one reason they made so many mistakes. And
probably their two best players on offense are back, too. Robinson and Worthy. I mean, those guys are big-time players.
Yeah. And there's more. There's more than
there's
just
that. There's more than just
skill,
them. Yeah.
The skill position. So that, right. Yeah. That's fine. But the offense, really, I don't think is going to be the problem.
I'm just saying you're telling me down year for the Big 12, you're going through, you know, top 25 and saying, yeah, basically no one's saying that the Big 12 has a top four team in the country, although I was surprised to see on this ESPN deal that they had OU number five, and you're telling me they don't even have a – all Big 12 player.
That's too high preseason. OU yeah. five, I, with, yeah, with all the turnover and so many, like Mark said, they lost a lot of players.
I'm just saying that's on this ESPN deal they put out 3 weeks ago. They had them number five. I'm saying on a down year for the Big 12, well, then, you know, maybe this is a year that Texas would, you know, break through because OU is down. Baylor, I mean, there's Pat thinks they're Final Four, but we'll see. And then OSU. So what about OSU, Marcus?
I mean, right in the middle of the mix. But Oklahoma State lost more than anybody did on defense. I mean, they lost. You know, and I think at OU, if you say like, okay, well, you lose a couple of guys that were kind of disappointing last year, and maybe it was the scheme and all that stuff, and you do have some guys to replace them. I mean, Oklahoma State lost some unbelievably competitive athletes in the secondary.
Yeah, particularly back then.
Jim Knowles, who's now at Ohio State.
Jim Knowles, to me, is I think that they got a pretty good DC here. But I thought last year, listen, Jim Knowles, to me, was the same guy that people criticized. It was the players that made that defense. I mean, he had veteran guys that could pull off a lot of different schemes that were great tacklers, that were impact players in the secondary. Now, OSU, to me, has the best edge rush in the conference. They're deep at that position. They got Brock Martin. They've got Trace Ford.
Colin Oliver.
Yeah. They got a lot of guys.
But they lost Malcolm Rodriguez, Devin Harper, four other top five defensive backs. Yeah.
Devin Harper and Malcolm Rodriguez were great players that had been in the lineup for a while. So I think you're just talking about – and they also lost up front. I mean, if just the middle of the defense is gone from the defensive tackle, Israel Antoine, to the linebackers all the way through to the secondary. And the cornerbacks have gone from having a really experienced guy at that position for about 4 or 5 years, guys that played a bunch of snaps, to one start. So offensively, Oklahoma State's good. I think they got the quarterback that's all Big 12. I think Spencer Sanders played at the end of the last season by beating Oklahoma and Notre Dame back-to-back. That was a really impressive performance. Not back-to-back, but 2 out of 3. But and then you've got a great receiving core with a lot of weapons there. I mean, I think that that's very impressive. Offensive line should be okay. But I don't know. I don't know how they're going to bounce back from all those losses on defense.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, but like you said, I mean, but it helps when you got Brock Martin, Oliver, Tyler Lacy, and so forth.
I mean, if you can run around those guys.
Trace Ford.
I'm just saying, that's good, but the middle of the defense is just gone.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, it's the offense has 11 of 15 players with the 300 plus snaps returning. That's, you know, that's a lot of firepower coming back on offense. On Baylor, what they said on Baylor is that, you know, you look at what they did last year and Dave Aranda and lead them to the Big 12 title, 4-1 record in one score games. But you know, when you start looking at the analytics and so forth, whenever you win that many close games, kind of what you were saying about Oklahoma last year, right, Mark, is when you're that good in close games, you tend to regress. You know, you're not going to win all those close games the next season. And Baylor was a lot like OU in that way.
Turnover wise and things like that, those seem to change and you know, year by year can be varied. But I think it's hard to say. I mean, the over under Vegas total of Oklahoma at 9. I mean, just you tell me what three is that going to be? I mean, they could lose to Nebraska. I mean, they could lose some of those other games. I just think that it's if any team can find the consistency to win them all, or will teams take turns beating each other?
Baylor also lost their leading pass rusher and Bernard, and they lost 5 out of their top 7 defensive backs.
They got Jackson Player from Tulsa, who I like. You know, I mean, they did lose a lot of guys. But when what I saw of Baylor last year, I think this is, you know, one of the reasons why Pat would like them a lot is, man, they were good. They were fundamentally sound. They were tough. And it was a bunch of different guys that were tackling. I just thought, you know, I mean, they really had OU completely confounded down there.
I see some Baylor bets coming before this season starts, I think.
I'm not sold on them like that. I mean, you know, I'm no, yeah, you can you go take Pat for all the pizzas you want. I mean, on getting into the Final Four. Good luck.
It's going to be a heck of a college football season. If the first day we talk about it, we're talking about Baylor and Pat has them Final Four, and the ESPN, you know, SP Plus sees them as a borderline top 40 team. You know, it is crazy. They say the last 5 years for Baylor football, first under Matt Rhule, then under Aranda, all right? They go 33-29, which looks like just mediocre, average, ho-hum. But the way they did it, all right?
Yeah.
Rhule's three seasons, they go from one win to 7 to 11, and then Aranda comes in, and they go 2-7, and then all of a sudden they go 12-2. That's how they get to 33-29 over, you know, the last 5 years. And so, they're a very good team. Yeah.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
What the hell is SP Plus?
That's some ESPN way of ranking, you know, college football teams. I don't know.
Okay.
But
there's some weird – yes, everybody's got some weird rankings this year. There's some weird stuff out there. Mississippi State, I think, ranks really, really high in the SP Plus, right? Top 10?
I don't know. I don't have the SP Plus. I'm just looking at a Big 12 preview here. So
okay.
But yeah, SP Plus, like K-State was 21st SP Plus last year.
Athlon's like
they must
State
like
players.
Oklahoma. Like I said, I mean I don't know if this is SP Plus or just some other ESPN preview here that had OU ranked number 5 in the country. You know, so you're not that high on the Sooners, huh, Marcus?
I am high on them. I don't know what, you know, really what to tell you. Like I said, if you ask me, we go game by game. I would tell you they got a chance to win them all. But that's not what the conventional thinking is by the people that know the sport really well. You know, I mean, I think, again, they look better to me last year with record wise than what they really were. I think everybody thought OU was going to have a great team last year, right? I mean, that was part of the problem is it just didn't ever look like that. I mean, from the
going
very beginning
into the
of the season.
But
I mean,
man, you watched that team play.
You've got to erase from your memory the fact that we all thought that that team was going to be a playoff team and they had a really good chance to go win because of Rattler and all that kind of stuff, because they didn't play that well ever, period, in any game, right? I mean, what game were they good in last year that you say that they really looked awesome and lived up to expectations? And so a lot of people want to blame that on Lincoln, and I don't know that that's necessarily fair. I think that there was some disconnect between the coaches and the players and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't enough to make that team kind of underachieve the way that they did. So, I'm not trying to get on the fence here on this deal, but I just think that it's there's a lot up in the air.
Yeah, we don't even know what SP Plus is, but last year you had OU, OSU, and Baylor all finished between 12 and 15 in that. K-State was 21. I'm just saying, you know, we've talked about the Big 12. You know, they might not have. Who knows? Maybe they don't have one of the top 10 or 7 or whatever teams in the country. Maybe that's just where they are, is some of their best teams are between 10 and 20 in the country.
Well, I also think we're gonna see some fluctuation in here between who's good sometimes and who's not necessarily as good, because I think the NIL – And a lot of, you know, changes and people going to different spots is gonna shake things up a little bit, to me. USC, they got a lot of dudes, man, and they got an easy schedule. Wow, they got an easy schedule. I think they've got a shot to be pretty good.
I don't
think
they play Oregon.
They don't play Oregon in the regular
season. Yeah.
Nope.
Which that's also, you know, helpful for Oregon as well. That's.
Utah.
I almost had Oregon in my Final Four. I didn't pull the trigger on them. I think they're a team.
I was just looking at this, Mark. Okay, so this ranking had Utah at number 12. I was just trying to scan down and see where they had USC. And I, unless I missed them, I hadn't seen them yet. And I'm all the way down to number 20. I don't even know if they had them in their top 25 here. And you're telling me they got a schedule to do, really do some damage, you know?
Right.
I wonder. I mean, do you have Athlon's mad or anything? I mean, I wonder where they had USC in their top 25.
I think they had them like 9. I'll pull it up.
I'm just saying. I'm seeing tremendous difference of opinion here this year, guys. Right. It looks like more than normal.
They have USC at 9 with 3 returning starters defensively. I know they got a ton of transfers on offense. I don't think Latrell McCutcheon's turning into Deion Sanders. I don't know. Athlon has USC at 9. Say they may be college football's biggest wild card team.
Yeah, wild card. I'm just saying, is Phil Steele's out yet, Marcus?
It is out. It's out in some places.
What?
I don't know if it's out here, but no, I've seen
news.
It is in the hands of some people across the country. I'll put it to you that way, because I've seen it on Twitter. I don't know if it's hit newsstands here in Oklahoma, but it is out in some places across the country.
Well, I would think if here's what I will do. I will prove to you that I am not a complete old, and I will go buy that thing online. I mean, if you can get it in print, surely you should be able to get it online.
I believe it's available for purchase.
Okay.
If you want it bad enough.
I do. I would, yeah.
Hey, I love Phil Steele's. I'm just saying, if you're in the business of putting out preseason college football predictions, what you're saying, Mark, is that world has changed with the portal, huh?
Defensively, last year, now it's last year, and, you know, the new staff and all that, USC allowed 34 points a game and 6.5 yards per play in conference, and they were 11th in the Pac-12 in pass efficiency defense. They also only forced 19 takeaways. I think that's for the year. So, I mean, getting Addison from Pittsburgh is huge. Caleb Williams showed a lot of promise last year. It hinges on what they do defensively, and they've got a ton of turnover or a ton of transfers. I know that. They need a ton of transfers on defense because they sucked last year, but I don't know. That seems a little 9. Seems a little high for USC for me. I don't know. Maybe it's not too high if there's just not that many good teams out there. Like, I don't know how you have them a spot ahead of Oregon.
But what you're saying, Marcus, what you're both saying might be true. Matt's saying they might not be that good. You're saying they don't play anyone, so they're going to have a great record.
They could rack up some wins, yeah.
Mark,
I've got a wager on this with a friend. If you just had to say win total, and you tie, you push on a tie,
okay.
OU and USC, who you got?
I'd lean OU. I would lean OU.
Okay.
Can USC win 10 games?
They could.
Maybe with that schedule?
Yeah. Two tough games, Notre Dame and Utah.
Yeah, Notre Dame on their home field, not that that's some raucous advantage. I don't have their complete schedule in front of me, but their road games, they list their key games at Stanford, Fresno at home, at Oregon State, at Utah, at UCLA, Notre Dame at home.
There's
Oregon.
Games in there, they're vulnerable.
I mean, Utah, they would be an underdog. Notre Dame, they'll be an underdog.
They might not be an underdog to Notre Dame. But
you don't think so?
Maybe not. That's the last game of the year. I don't think they're going to be that big an underdog to anybody, but I think they'll be favored in quite a few games. As a matter of fact, I know they're not going to be that big of an underdog because the public loves them.
Yeah, right.
You're saying they might be an underdog today if you were going to go bet it, but by the time they play that game is what you're saying, Marcus, they might not be.
Right.
Yeah. Notre Dame plays Clemson also.
Notre Dame's got a tough schedule.
They go to Ohio State as well.
Yeah. They're going to play BYU in Vegas. Yeah, to Ohio State. Wow. I mean,
but if they
that's
go,
a really
if,
tough
but,
schedule.
But here's the deal with that schedule. If they go 11-1, they got a good chance to get in.
Yeah.
You know, like say their only loss is at Ohio State. Now, I had Clemson in mind, so, you know, if I'm saying that, you know, Clemson and Ohio State both beat Notre Dame, they're not going to get in at 10-2.
Hey, speaking of Big 12, Marcus, we talked about this, Brett Yormark, the new commissioner that replaces Bob Bowlesby. I can't remember. I mean, so did you give that a thumbs up or thumbs down yesterday?
I give it a thumbs up. I think it's an outside-the-box hire. I mean, I think that Bob Bowlesby's just been kind of always been an athletic director and this and that and whatsoever, and I think this is a guy that's been used to dealing with business. He's been used to trying to create excitement for events and a lot of things like that, and I think that's exactly what the Big 12 needs, exactly what they need. I think they've gone in the right direction here. It's a new world of college athletics. You got to get the most money you possibly can from negotiating deals. I think it seems like to me a home run hire. I tried to reach out to a couple people that I know that would know a lot about administration and business and things like that, but haven't really heard back from them. I don't know much about this guy other than what I read on his bio, but I think that they're looking in the right direction when they're doing that.
You know, Pat said it needs to be an administrator and have this guy.
Yeah, I disagree, man. I disagree completely.
Because, Scott Wright, I think he's right on the money where he says, okay, he's worked with leagues. I mean, he worked in the NBA for many years, all right? And so he's worked with teams. He's worked, as he said, brands, overseeing sponsorships, licensing, content sponsorships, brand strategy. That's what this commissioner better be all about, or all of those, right, Mark?
Let me ask you this, though, and this is not a shot at Pat, I mean, at all. I respect him tremendously. But why in today's age do you need an administrator to run the conference? I just think that times have changed. You've got to have somebody that knows business, I think. You've got to have I think you have to have that background. I think you have to have a promotional background because it's no longer just, hey, college sports is great and, you know, we're all in this and it's – you know, it has become one of the most cutthroat businesses on the planet with television networks paying, you know, tons of money, or with kids being able to leave and go wherever they want in a certain time. And I think Bob Bowlesby he's probably a class of an administrator as you can get. The guy was athletic director at Stanford. He was athletic director at Iowa. He had a collegiate wrestling background, all those kind of things. But he was drab and dull and boring. I don't know that he commanded a room at any time that I was ever in one. And I think times have changed.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally. I'm not saying that he's going to have great success with the loss of OU in Texas. You know, he's got his work cut out for him. But I do like the hire. So, and like we said, it was presidents that made the hire. Evidently, you know, met in Dallas, a small group of them. It wasn't, you know, just football coaches or athletic directors to make that hire.
Yeah, well, a lot of your marketing power walk right out the door with OU in Texas. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
if you want
right.
to create some excitement, he's going to have to do that in a little bit of an artificial way without the two marquee names in the league.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.